السلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد Welcome everyone, welcome back to our 11th session on the Maraqi وسعادات of الإمام العلامة أبو الإخلاص الشرنبولالي رحمه الله. We finished the section on wudu, the نواقض الوضوء, and we are now going to do the section on غسل. And as we do in all of our sessions, we will read the text, then translate it, and then go through it with a little bit of explanation, بإذن الله تعالى. قال الإمام الشرنبولالي نفعنا الله به. He says in the chapter on غسل, وفروض الغسل ثلاثة, المضمضة والاستنشاق وغسل ما أمكن من سائر الجسد بلا عسر ومشقة. ومن سنته النية والتسمية وغسل يديه إلى رسغي وفرجه ونجاسة ببدنه وتقديم الوضوء ثم يفيض الماء على بدنه بادئا برأسه. والغسل أقسامه ثلاثة, فرض واجب والنفل. الأول بخروج مني منفصل عن مقره بشهوة بنحو الاحتلام ونظر وتوالي حشفة في قبل أو دبر لآدمي حي مشتهى وحيض ونفاس. وفروض الغسل ثلاثة, الثاني لمن أسلم جنبا ولصح افتراضه عليه. والثالث للجمعة والعيدين والإحرام وعرفة ودخول المكة والمدينة المنورة وزيارة قبر النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. ولا غسل بمذي وودي واحتلام بلا بلل ولو لامرأة, وإدخال إصبع نحوه في فرج ووطئ بهيمة بدون إنزال. So in this small section that we'll be covering today, Imam Ash-Shurumbulali rahimahullah, he says, the obligations of ghusl, the obligations of a purificatory bath, the ritual bath, are three. There are three obligatory integrals of the ghusl, without which the ghusl would not be legally valid to perform. The first is to rinse the entire mouth, al-madmadah, and this has to be done once. Wal-istinshaq is rinsing the nose up to the bone, the nasal bone. And the third, wa-ghaslu ma amkana min sa'id al-jasad bila usrin wa mashaqqa, and washing the whatever is possible of the entire body without it creating any undue difficulty or hardship. So this has got to be done once. This has got to be done once. And the failure to do one of these will mean that the ghusl would not be valid. We have a narration from Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, who mentions that someone asked him about a person who did the ghusl. They were in a state of ritual impurity, a state of junub, and nasi al-madmada wal-istinshaq. So they forgot to rinse their mouth and to flush the nose, to sort of rinse out the nose. And Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said, وَيُمَضْمِضُ وَيُسْتَنْشِقُ وَيُعِيدُ الصَّلَاةِ. That person has to يُمَضْمِضُ وَيَسْتَنْشِقُ the person has to do the madmada. They have to do, they have to rinse their mouth and rinse out the nose, and then يعيد الصلاة, repeat the salah. So every that must be performed. We also have in you know many, many other narrations where not even a hair on the body should be left unwashed. The hair should, every part of the body must be washed. This is a requirement to make the ghusl valid. So then he says, وَمِن سُنَّتِهِ النِّيَّةِ وَمِن سُنَّتِهِ النِّيَّةِ, that one of the from the sunnah actions, the recommended actions of the ghusl is the following. So وَمِن سُنَّةِ الْغُسْلِ, from the sunnah acts of ghusl, the acts that are recommended to do from the prophetic pattern and example, and niyya, to make the intention. So at the onset, at the beginning of doing the ghusl, one makes the intention by mentioning the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, like the Basmala. And then one makes the niyya to do the ghusl, the intention, and then one does the tasmiyah, the Basmala. Then one does غَسْلُ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى رُسَغَيْهِ. So then one washes the hands إِلَى رُسَغَيْهِ. One washes the hands up until the wrists and including the wrists. وَفَرَجِهِ. And then one must wash their private parts, front and the back. Then وَنَجَاسَةٍ بِبَدْنِهِ. Then one must wash any filth that is on one's body. وَتَقْدِيمُ الْوُضُوءُ, performing wudu first. Then ثُمَّ يُفِيضُ الْمَاءُ عَلَى بَدْنِهِ بَادِئًا بِرَأْسِهِ. So one does the, after one's remove the filth on the front and the back of one's private parts, one does the wudu, then one pours water over the entire body, starting from the head. And one does this three times. One does this three times. So, and of course, beginning from the right-hand side, and this is the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. And we see this, we have this in many narrations. So from the our mother, Ummul Mu'mineen, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said that anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam kana idha ightasala min janabati bada'a fa ghasala yaday thumma yatawadda'u kama yatawadda'u lis-salah thumma yudkhilu asabi'ahu fil ma' wa yukhallilu biha usul sha'ri ثم يصب على رأسه ثلاث غرف يديه ثم يفيض ما على جلده صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. So our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said that whenever the Prophet took the ghusl of janaba, so when the Prophet was in that state of ritual requiring a purificatory bath, he cleaned his hands. بَدَأَ فَغَسَلَ يَدَيْهِ, he washed his hands, and then performed wudu, ثُمَّ يَتَوَضَّأُ كَمَا يَتَوَضَّأُ لِلصَّلَةِ, then he performed wudu like he would perform the wudu for the salah. And then he rubbed his hair with his wet fingers. ثُمَّ يُدْخِلُ أَصَابِعَهُ فِي الْمَاءِ فَيُخَلِّلُ بِهَا أُصُولَ شَعَرِهِ. And then he rubbed his hair with his wet fingers, reaching the sort of the roots of his hair. ثم يصب يصب على رأسه ثلاث غرف بيديه. And then he would pour water thrice over his head, and then the rest of his body. ثم يفيض الماء على جلده. So this is like the sort of modality of the bath, the way the purificatory bath is done. And like I said, there are many, many narrations that talk about this. Okay. Then Imam Ashurun Bulali, rahimahullah, he says, Walla ghuslu aqsamuhu thalathatun, fardun wajibun wa naflun. So then the bath is of three types. Doing the bath is of three types. So there's the bath that is the obligatory bath, i.e., when you must do it, namely, you have no option, otherwise you'd be sinful if you do not take the bath at that time. Then there is the mandatory the time when it's mandatory to perform the ritual bath. And then there are recommended instances or circumstances or times to perform the ritual bath. So regarding the first, i.e. the fard, al-awwal, the first, i.e. when it's obligatory to do the bath, when is it? بِخُرُوجِ مَنِيٍّ مُنْفَصِلٍ عَنْ مَقَرِّهِ. When semen is emitted, mani, that is semen or sexual, male sexual fluid is emitted, that leaves the normal place from where semen is emitted. بِشَهْوَةٍ, if it's via pleasure. So the emission of semen out of its proper place, if it's because of some reason that, if pleasure is the cause of that emission of semen. And that might be, that examples of that will include بِنَحْوِ إِحْتِلَامٍ, because of a wet dream, وَنَظَرٍ, or by looking at someone with a, you know, in a kind of lustful way, that would require the purificatory bath. It's obligatory at that time to perform obligatory bath. Another time when it's, another condition or circumstance or situation which an obligatory bath is required, وتواري حشفة في قبر أو دبر لآدمي حي مشتهى. When the tip or the head or the female private part disappears into either the vagina or the anus of a living human being, you know, whose body is desirable. If it's through you know, sort of sexual desire, one does it, then the top of the private part, the male private part, if it disappears into any one of these orifices, the dubur, the qubl, the front, and the dubur, the back, then this obligates a purificatory bath. وَحَيْضٍ وَنِفَاسٍ. The third instance is when the menstrual period, the woman's menstrual period, finishes, or when any post-birth bleeding finishes, وَنِفَاسٍ. Those two instances require an obligatory bath. So there's three times when the obligatory bath is required: emission of semen, the disappearing of the male private part, the tip of the top of the male private part, into any orifice, front or back, when the period finishes, and when postnatal or post-birth bleeding finishes. والثاني, and the second is the mandatory, i.e. when it is wajib to perform the ghusl, لمن أسلم جنوبا, if anyone becomes a Muslim and they're in a state of ritual impurity, by requiring a ghusl, a major ritual impurity, it's mandatory to do the ghusl, then it's wajib. والأصحو افتراضه عليه. But Imam Ashurun Bulali is saying that the most correct position, the sounder position, is that the bath is obligatory on him, not mandatory. والثالث, and the third, the instance of, or the third, examples of the third instance where we do ghusl, namely the nafal, the recommended instances or the recommended times or the recommended reasons, they are when it's Jumu'ah, the Friday prayer. So it's recommended to do a purificatory bath for before one embarks on to pray the Jumu'ah prayer. Wal-Eidain, the two Eid prayers. When one is entering into the state of Ihram, the state in which one is entering into the sort of the sanctity conditions to perform the pilgrimage, perform the Hajj. Wa Arafah, the day of Arafah. Then the Sheikh rahimahullah, he says, ودخول المكة والمدينة المنورة, entering the city of Mecca al-Mukarrama and then the city of Medina al-Nabi, Medina al-Munawwara, the city of Medina, and then Ziyarati Qabr al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama, that is visiting the blessed Qabr al-Nabi, the blessed grave of the Messenger of Allah alayhi afdalu salat wa atamu taslim. So all these are the recommended conditions. In fact, the Jumu'ah, the Eidain, the Ihram and Arafah, these are actually highly emphasized sunnahs. They're not just merely recommended. They're not just nafal. They're sort of emphasized sunnah. That is really strongly recommended to do ghusl on these days. The next bit says, لا غسل بمذي وودي واحتلام بلا بلل ولو لامرأة. And then he says, ghusl is not necessary, ولا غسل. There is no ghusl, meaning there's no mandatory, the following are not the mandatory causes for ghusl. And what are they? The exit of madhi and wadi. And the madhi is the sort of pre-ejaculatory fluid that is sort of thin, clear fluid that sort of exits or is emitted when one is in a high state of arousal, but it is not sperm. So they're two different fluids. And wadi is this kind of thick, sort of murky white fluid that is residual, that comes with the urine or often just exits. It sometimes, sexual intercourse, the residual white fluid, or sometimes it can come before, it can be emitted before. But the wadi and the madhi are fluids which do not necessitate ghusl. They're not a reason for a purificatory bath. But of course, these would contravene the wudu. One would have to perform the wudu if these two fluids were emitted. And then he says, rahimahullah, waking up after a wet dream, but not finding any wetness. وَلَوْ لِإِمْرَأَةٍ, even if it's the case for a woman. So one wakes up from a wet dream, but yet does not see any physical sort of evidence of that. وَإِدْخَالْ إِصْبَعِ وَنَحْوِهِ فِي فَرَجْ, the insertion of a finger or anything like that into the private part of a woman does not necessitate a person to do a ghusl. And then this scenario or wat'i bahima biduni inzal, if in those sort of depraved circumstances where a human being, you know, comes into contact with an animal in that way, if someone was to engage in that kind of bestial behavior, and there was no inzal, there was no emission of sexual fluid in a man, then a ghusl would not be required. Of course, but that will be a sin. So this is a mas'ala to do ghusl, even though this is one of the most despicable acts that a person can do. So that's our bab of wudu, of ghusl done. We covered today, alhamdulillah, we covered the different the obligatory or the integrals, obligatory integrals of wudu. We looked at the sunnah aspects of wudu. We looked at the types of wudu, types of ghusl. We looked at the obligation of ghusl, the integrals of ghusl, bath. We looked at the sunnah of ghusl. We looked at the types of ghusl, the fard, the wajib, and the nafal, i.e. the obligatory, the mandatory, and the recommended. We looked at what reasons or scenarios bring about an obligatory purificatory bath, and what reasons or scenarios bring about a mandatory purificatory bath. And we looked at what reasons and scenarios bring about a recommended, when it's recommended to have a purificatory bath. And then we looked at some instances where ghusl is not necessary. Next week, inshallah, we will be going through the bab of tayammum. We'll be looking through tayammum and looking at some of the ahkam related to that. And then we'll be looking at foot gear, al-mas'h ala khuffain wa jabira. So until then, inshallah, we will see you in the next session. Unless there's any questions or comments anyone has, feel free to jump in. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. We will entertain them. So I'll just give you some time to ask questions. Otherwise, we will conclude our session here and continue bi-idhnillahi ta'ala next week. It looks like there'll be no one's asking any questions. So we will continue with Bab al-Tayammum in our next session, bi-idhnillah. Until then, I will see you in the next session. Join us then. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.